are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This service originates in the Rear View Studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin E. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting that our service will be a blessing to you today. Father, we thank you for your blessings, your love, your mercy, your goodness, your grace. We're thankful for the privilege of presenting Jesus Christ to our congregation today. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, the name that you honor above all other names, for it is through him that we have salvation, have been redeemed from a miserable life of sin. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We ask you to bless our congregation through our broadcast today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Instead of having a second song as we usually do, I want to read a beautiful hymn for you in a moment. But first of all, our thoughts today are entitled, Let Me See Jesus Only. And our text of Scripture is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now there are many things in this world that get our attention, but when it comes to spiritual things, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. W. Dale Oldham, who wrote the song that I'm going to read in a moment, was a pastor in the Church of God Reformation movement for many years. He pastored in different places. His last pastorate was in the city of Anderson. And he was also well known because he was a speaker on the radio program for years called the Christian Brotherhood Hour. The title of the song is Let Me See Jesus Only. Dead to every worldly pleasure, dead indeed to sin am I, but alive to Christ my Savior, daily to Him I'm drawing nigh. Let me see Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only. Let me see Jesus only, only He can satisfy. Let me strive not for the riches of this earthly that soon decay. From the world I've turned to Jesus and His more abundant way. Storms in fury beat up round me, tempest off my barks assail, but my pilot's name is Jesus. He will calm the wildest gale. When I face death's chilly river, when upon its brink I stand, I shall fearless be if Jesus leads me gently by the hand. Let me see Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only. Let me see Jesus only, only He can satisfy. There are many, many things I say that are beautiful for us to look at in the world and get our attention. But when it comes to spiritual things, again, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I'm going to look at this hymn a portion at a time. Dead to every worldly pleasure. Most things in the world are designed for Christians, are not designed for Christians. That is why John said, we are not to love the world. Dead indeed am I. To love the world is to love sin. For we, to love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So the Apostle John said. I'd like to take time to read some from the late F.G. Smith's book, What the Bible Teaches in Regard to the Things of the World. He has a chapter here on holy life, and in this chapter he has some thoughts in regard to freedom from worldliness. This is simply another division of the subject of sin, for worldliness is sin. However, there are some special thoughts that I wish to present under this heading, since sin, in its various forms, has become universally surrounding us on all sides, as real as nature itself. The Bible writers often refer to it as the world. This includes not only the grossest forms of sin, but all manner of disobedience to God of whatsoever nature or extent. God's people must be free from all these things. Paul says to the brethren who had been quickened in Christ, "In time past you walked according to the course of this world," Ephesians 2:2. "But Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world." So we read in Galatians 1:4. That our separation from the world in this sense is to be real is shown by the words of Christ. "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." John 15:19. Reader, bear in mind that if you take your stand for God and for the whole truth of the Word of God and are determined to be free from all worldliness, there will be a real separation in spirit and in life between you and the worldly minded. You will even have opposition. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted," 2 Timothy 3:12. This experience was truly realized by the first disciples, for we have the testimony of Jesus himself that they were free from the world. He said of them in his prayer to the Father, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." St. John 17:14-16. To us, this means that everything which partakes of the spirit and nature of the world must be forsaken. Worldly sentiments, worldly associations, worldly ambitions, worldly amusements, and worldly dress, everything that is not in strict harmony with the plain teachings of God's Word. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now, in regard to worldly dress, Smith says, "But the Word of God comes even closer and lays down certain rules concerning the Christian dress. The command of the Word is, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 6:20. "We must be holy both in body and in spirit." 1 Corinthians 7:34. "If we have holy, humble hearts, hearts free from vanity and pride, then our outward lives must in every way be consistent with the inward condition." Now, when people's hearts are full of the pride of life, how do they manifest it? By proud actions, by worldly dress, they seek to adorn themselves with worldly things. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Yet how many professing Christians totally disregard the plain teachings of the Word on this point and dress in all pride and fashion of the world. In the scripture just given, the Apostle Peter forbids the wearing of the outward adorning and suggests that is suggested by pride. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That's the words of the Apostle Paul as written to in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. So dead to every worldly pleasure, dead indeed in sin to am I, but alive to Christ my Savior. What does that mean? That means that you must die to sin to be made alive to Christ. As long as you are alive to sin, you are dead to Christ. But when you die to sin and made alive to Christ, you are no longer a partaker of the sinful things called the world. A choice must be made. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Joshua told Israel to choose the God that they would serve, but he let them know his choice was the true God. So we must all choose the God that we will serve. In the hymn, we go on daily to him, I'm drawing nigh. James said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. James 4, 7 and 8. And this is a daily task, not seeking for worldly riches. The love of money is the root of all evil. The rich farmer set his heart on his riches and was pronounced a fool. And Jesus said, so is he, so is everyone that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Luke chapter 12, verse 21. Let me strive not for the riches of this earth that so soon decay. They are only for a season. From the world I have turned to Jesus and his more abundant way. What a wise decision. Jesus said that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10 and 10. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The hymn goes on to say, storms and fury beat upon me. Satan will bring against us all the evil power that God will permit. Trials and tests come to every Christian. That is why we are told to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 and 11. Tempest of oft my bark assail. Storms arose suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. And we remember how that Jesus was asleep on the boat whenever a storm came up and the disciples were afraid that they were going to drown. And they awakened him and, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he stepped out on the deck of the ship and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. So tempest off, my bark may sail. Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But my pilot's name is Jesus, so Oldham said in this hymn. And, thank God, Jesus will be a pilot to everyone who will live for him and do his will. Our pilot will never lead us into a storm that we cannot survive. And Oldham said, he will calm the wildest gale. And that is true. Peace be still. And there was a great calm. What manner of man is this? The disciple said, after Jesus spoke peace and the calm settled down over the water. What manner of man is this? He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He told the disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The whole Oldham said in this hymn, when I face death's chilly river, this is a time that comes to all. For it is appointed unto man once to die. Our text, the Apostle Paul called death an enemy. When upon this brink I stand, not all know when they will stand on the brink. That is why we need to be ready at all times. Death is something that a saint of God need not fear. I shall fearless be if Jesus leads me gently by the hand. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we read in that beautiful psalm, the Lord's my shepherd, in Psalm 23:4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The chorus of this hymn says, let me see Jesus only. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Our text. Only he can satisfy. How true that is. Let me see Jesus only, for only he can satisfy. Another hymn that I'd like to quote a few words from, and this was written by D.S. Warner. All this world, its wealth and honor, cannot sate the human breast, but when filled with God, our Father, every want is fully blessed. My soul is satisfied, my soul is satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless the words of this hymn and the scriptures that we have quoted to the hearts of each one in our congregation today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Without him, I
thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That address again, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. And we also have an archive of some of our broadcasts if you'd like to hear one again or have missed one. So our address is www.wayoftruth.org. And we also invite you to be with us in our services as they are broadcast live over the Internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6. And our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us next week when again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.